Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Happy Turkey Day, everybody. Hello, everyone. I'm Pod Vader. I'm joined by four super fans this week. Very excited about that. And this week, you're going to get two podcasts for the price of none because we figured let's give you the Thanksgiving Day games in their own show, and then we'll preview the rest of the week, the Sunday games, a little bit later this week. So let me introduce you to the four super fans that are joining me today. We have Andrew representing the Jets. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, Pod.
Hello. Good morning. I have James representing the Texans. James, how are you?
Doing great, Pod. Never thought it would be so good to be 500 again.
Yes, I'm very happy for the big Texans. Little Texans, their season's been long done, but the big Texans still got a ways to go. And by the way, James is one of those guys that emailed us a superfan application. You might remember the Texans was a team that we had a fan for, didn't have a fan for, had a fan for, didn't have a fan for. James emailed us nextfanup@gmail.com and became a superfan. So you too can be a superfan. Greg represents the Steelers. Hello, Greg.
Good morning, Pod. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. And Jimmy is our Panthers super fan. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We are doing great. So this will be the Thanksgiving Day preview. We will go through the Eagles, Lions, Panthers, Cowboys, Bears, and Packers. And bonus, the two later games on Thanksgiving are superfan battles. So you're going to hear from those particular superfans as they break down the games in depth. We're also going to have a conversation about the NFL Hall of Fame semifinalists. Because nothing says nothing is more for the fans than the Hall of Fame. And we're going to talk about who we think out of the semifinalists should be the finalists for the Hall of Fame. But first, let's get things kicked off here with our first Thanksgiving Day game. It is the Eagles at the Detroit Lions. And we were having a brief conversation before we started the show about my locks of the week, which have not been good this year. My picks during the Thanksgiving week are never good. And I cannot believe it, but I am actually going to lock in the Philadelphia Eagles to win this game.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
Yeah, I agree. Wow. That is not a very good pick. Not a good pick at all. I don't feel good about it. I don't really have anything other than a useless stat to throw to you guys to say why I'm doing this. The Eagles have won six of the past seven in this series. Of course, the last game was in 2013, and the last game at Detroit was in 2010. I don't feel good about it, Andrew. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, you're wrong because Mark Sanchez is playing quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, Pod. The Lions defense has actually played pretty well in recent weeks. Two weeks ago, they held Aaron Rodgers to, I believe it was like 16 points. And then last week, they held Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders offense that's been putting up points on the whole league to just 13. And now they're going to be playing Mark Sanchez. I don't think he's going to be able to make plays to beat Detroit. Watching that game, the Eagles Buccaneer game, Sanchez didn't do anything special. He just hit the open guy 6 yards down the field, and when he had to do anything more, he turned the ball over. As a Jets fan, I'm used to seeing that, and I just think it's going to continue. And that's if the Eagles defense got mauled last week by Tampa Bay. So Detroit has a capability to put up points, and I wouldn't be surprised if Calvin Johnson wants to wake up all the football world and let everyone know that he still exists on national televised game on Thanksgiving Day.
All right, James, how are you feeling about this one?
I'm feeling a lot more confident now that you've picked the Eagles to go with the Lions. there's just, it seems to be just a little bit too much grumblings coming out of Philadelphia. Now there's rumors of how the part of the team is starting to quit on Chip Kelly. It just kind of seems like they've picked up momentum going the wrong way. And, you know, I don't really see them being able to go into Detroit on Thanksgiving and come out with a win.
Greg is in second place in our Pigskin Pick'em group. Go to ESPN.com, go to the Pigskin Pick'em page, search Next Fan Up. You'll see that Sitko still is in the lead. Greg fell a couple of games behind him, though, now in second place. Cowboy Brian in third. I am in fourth. I had a good week last week. 2 weeks ago, not so good. This week, not feeling all that great. But, Greg, what do you think?
I think I'm going to go against the dirty Sanchez and go with the Lions at home. That's for sure. Keeping the tradition alive.
Speaking of tradition, the Eagles did win on Thanksgiving at Detroit in November of 1968, Jimmy. That's got to count for something.
That does. I like the Eagles here. I think the Eagles get right a little bit. I just have a hard time seeing them go to 4-7 before the Lions get to 4-7. I think the Eagles go 5-6 here and keep the NFC just ugly and tight locked at a 500 team. But I could see this team either being a low scoring, crappy 1 o'clock game that everyone eats and just ignores, or it could be a high scoring 44-41 kind of game. I could see it going either way, but I do like the Eagles here.
The Lions traditionally don't play that well on Thanksgiving, although Stafford will be looking for his fourth consecutive 300 yard game on Thanksgiving. I don't know. Trust me, I don't like it, but I really don't have that many other choices as locks. My locks have sucked this year. There you have it.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
Or in picking the game, whichever you want to choose. All right, we've got the Panthers at the Cowboys. Jimmy recorded a super fan battle, and let's hear what they had to say about this game.
What is going on? Next Fan Up here with a Thanksgiving Day battle. It's going to be the Panthers and the Cowboys this Thursday in Dallas. I am Cowboy Brian, your Cowboys super fan, and I'm here with Jimmy Six, our Panthers super fan. How's it going, Jimmy?
What's going on? How's everybody doing today?
Oh, man, I know we're going to have a good time. A couple old 757 brethren in this one up. Absolutely. And I think we got to start with the biggest surprise probably of this is that when the line came out, your Panthers 10-0, an underdog to my 3-7 Cowboys. How surprised were you by that?
I think I was surprised, but not too surprised. And I think Pod will hit on this in today's episode. But Pod always kind of says historically Dallas plays well on Thanksgiving, and I think that is true. I don't have any statistics to back it up, but with Tony Romo coming back and having a game under his belt, I think Dallas is ready for the task. But I don't see how your bookies and Vegas guys can put Dallas as a favorite at this point with being a little unproven. But, you know, I'm okay with it. I like being an underdog, and I hope Carolina takes that mindset as a chip on their shoulder when they go into Dallas this week.
Yeah, the last thing I felt like we needed to do was give you guys extra motivation, being that you're already 10-0, you know, seven games above us in the standings. But now you've got that bulletin board material that Vegas doesn't think you guys should beat us on Thanksgiving. It is an advantage getting to play at home every year on that Thursday. But I think that's kind of mitigated by the fact that this is going to be Tony Romo's second game back, and he's playing it, you know, within 4 days. The momentum here is crazy. We all think Romo is the savior at this point. That first win over Miami was huge. I was at that game. The downpour at the beginning was ridiculous, but the sun kind of shone brightly over Tony and the rest of the team after that. And I don't want to say I'm too confident going into this game, but we need this, like we need really every game going forward. And we have the advantage, like you said, on the short week. but there are a lot of matchups I'm worried about for Carolina. What do you think are some of y'all strengths going into this Cowboys game against this?
A quick glance at this game, I'd have a hard time seeing how Dallas puts up points. And I expect Josh Norman to be a little amped up for this game, so maybe he gets beat a little early on, but then I expect him to settle down. So I expect Dez to have kind of a game that resembles 50 yards or 60 yards, maybe a touchdown. I think Jason Witten will be covered well by the linebackers, but that being said, I've noticed throughout the games this year, it seems like the tight end or the third slot wide receiver has been having more success than the primary wide receiver. So maybe this is a game for Jason Witten or Cole Beasley to step up. Aaron McFadden, I think he's going to be most effective as more of a scat back. Maybe not necessarily run the ball through the line of scrimmage, but maybe a lot of screens setting up that pass rush to come in hard. So I just have a hard time seeing how Dallas scores points on a consistent basis throughout this game. Offensively, I think Carolina is going to go back to the run game. They passed a lot this last week against Washington. I think they solved the secondary of Washington and are ready to roll back to the run game with Tolbert, Stewart, and Cam. So I think Carolina will score, but also I'm a little worried about Greg Hardy. This is his chance to prove what Carolina's missing, and I think he definitely makes an impact in this game, either negatively or positively for either side. So it's definitely very interesting. I'm interested to hear your take as far as how Dallas is going to be offensively.
Yeah, you said it. I'm worried about Dez. You guys have a reputation of shutting down number one receivers that's been proven throughout this season. And I could absolutely see, like you said, Dez being, 50, 60 yards, 3-4 catches. It's going to be those secondary weapons. I think you nailed it. Witten, Beasley, over the middle, I think are going to be key in this game. I thought it was great that we got Terrence Williams involved. He actually looked like a viable NFL receiver, and I think a lot of that has to do with the trust that Tony Romo has in him. I think we're going to struggle to run the ball. We tore through Miami, but they have no linebackers, whereas you guys have arguably the best tandem in the league in Davis and Kuechly. And we're going to have to do some things on the perimeter. And like you said, McFadden being a pass catcher, something we really haven't seen in a few weeks, is going to be pretty key. I don't think we're going to be able to just hand it off, and just move the ball down the field. This is definitely going to be on Romo's, right arm to lead us down the field. Defensively, we're hurting with the loss of Morris Claiborne. And it's not so much that I think Claiborne was going to shut anyone down particularly, but him not playing means Byron Jones has to stay at a starting cornerback position, which really takes away what could have been one of our best matchups, in that Byron Jones has been fantastic against tight ends. And your guys' biggest weapon in the passing game is undoubtedly Greg Olsen. But we won't have Byron Jones up against him, and I think that could be a big problem. I love how y'all are running the football. I think Jonathan Stewart finally getting, that number one running back look. He's done everything I kind of expected him to. It's going to be a great matchup with Sean Lee back and Rolando McClain really showing up for the first time all season, in my opinion. He's been a huge disappointment up until last week. I think that's going to be a phenomenal matchup. And like you said, Greg Hardy is going to be as motivated as Greg Hardy will ever be. That could go both ways. If he gets a little overextended, wants to get in there and hit Cam too much, Cam's going to dance out of that, and that's going to free a lot of room for him to run, and that really, really scares me. So I'm hoping we'll play within ourselves. As everyone knows, we're an emotional football team. We ride with the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. So it's scary to think what could happen in this one. I think I've been tooting Cam's horn all year about being an MVP, and I'm afraid he might show it again in this game. So at the end of the day, what kind of outcome are you seeing in this one?
This is one of the games I'm more confident in Carolina, and this is a typical game where Carolina struggles, where it's prime time against a decent team, and we usually struggle in this situation. But this year, we've proven that we can show up on prime time and play. So I definitely think we are, even though we are 10-0, I think this is a game where Carolina comes out and proves to the national media that we are for real. So I expect Carolina to come out big. I'm expecting a game, maybe 31-20, 31-21, or even a single touchdown score type of kind of game with Carolina out front. With a loss here, I think that's very big detriment if Carolina loses, but I expect Carolina to win by a touchdown or more.
Okay, so you're predicting a fairly comfortable win for Carolina. I do think it's great that the national audience is finally going to get to see them on the big stage, and they're going to get the love that they really have deserved all season. But we do have a reputation ourselves for knocking off undefeated teams when we're really not supposed to. Again, having the entire squad back together, you know, Romo, Dez, everyone on defense, I think we spring, I guess you wouldn't call it an upset if we're the quote-unquote favorite. I think it'll be a little more low scoring than you're predicting. I'm thinking 21-17 Dallas, and this just continues to propel us in the playoff race in the miserable NFC East. But it's going to be a good one, and I know America's going to be tuning in, and this is really the marquee game, in my opinion, of the day. So it's going to be a big one, so I appreciate you coming on, Jimmy. And we're going to have a good little battle on Thursday.
Yeah, real quick, Brian, if you could add two key factors or two interesting notes for Dallas, and I'll do the same for Carolina. Two interesting notes, I think, for Carolina. We get Charles Johnson back this week, our leading pass rusher over the last couple of years, so he's finally coming back off injured reserve. I don't think he'll be fully in the mix as a starter, but he'll definitely be in the mix and get his takes back. As also, I think this will be a game where Devin Funchess starts to come out even more and shows the nation kind of why we traded up in the second round to pick him. I don't know if you have any takes like that for Dallas.
No, I think the Funchess thing is a huge one. And we've actually talked about Funchess out here. We're worried about him. We're very worried about him. And he's come on very strong the last couple weeks. I'm interested to see I'm always interested to see how we play up front with that O-line. I think the battle between Zach Martin and Ndamukong Suh last week was heavyweight battle kind of stuff. But you guys have a good D-line in your own right and a good front seven, of course. Mike, I'm interested to see if we can establish that running game, especially in the interior of the line. But, I want to see our safety play. I've been anti-J.J. Wilcox. He played all right last week with Jones moving to corner, but I think you guys can really take advantage of him and Barry Church on the back end. One Ted Ginbaum can change the game. So that'll be a good matchup to watch. So a lot of interesting aspects in this one. It'll be a good one. So it should be a spotlight game on Thanksgiving when everyone's settled in with that belly full of turkey and stuffing. So sit back and enjoy it, America. Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, there you go. That was the super fan super battle on the Panthers and Cowboys. Jimmy, who did you take again?
I'm taking Carolina in this game, and I feel pretty good about it. I think Carolina wins this game by at least a touchdown. I realize Tony Romo's coming back, and he's got a game under his belt, but this is one of the games I feel really confident about. I think the team has a chip on their shoulder being the underdog in this game, and I think they're ready to come out and show the media and the world what we're really about to do and how we're going to take care of the NFC in the playoffs.
Well, you should feel a little bit more confident because I'm going to make an upset special on this one, even though it doesn't really count as an upset special. I'm going to make it.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
I know. Stop taking shots at my picks. I'm taking the Cowboys here. Cowboys play well on Thanksgiving, no matter what their record is. I'm taking Dallas to pull the upset here, even though it's not that huge an upset. At least according to Vegas, it's not that huge an upset. Number Fire says, has it a pick 'em game? Dallas 36.6% likelihood. When Number Fire goes heavy one way, you go the opposite, Greg.
Yes, you do. And, I'm going with the Panthers just because, Cam made me a believer when he won in Seattle a few weeks ago. And the Cowboys are a mess. I mean, they should be like a reality show on MTV after like 16 and pregnant or something. So give me the Panthers all the way.
James, who are you like in this one?
I like the Panthers. I mean, anytime you can give me a 10-0 team that at the start of the week was getting points, I mean, I don't care that they're on the road. They've proven they can win at home, on the road, win close games, win blowouts. You know, Cam is playing, you know, top two quarterback in the league right now. And yes, Tony Romo has gotten back into Dallas. You know, their savior has returned, but there's no way that they're going to go undefeated with Tony Romo. And so you got to pick a couple of games where they're going to lose. And this one just stands out as a pretty good candidate for that.
It's definitely a tough one to go with here, but the Cowboys are 9-1 series leaders against the Panthers, Andrew. That's from the useless stats department. Of course, last time they played the Panthers was in 2012, which makes the stat even that more useless.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to do what Jimmy did last time he told him that Philadelphia beat Detroit in 1968, that it really, really, really matters. So I'm going to take that into account when I make my pick. Right now, it's sort of desperation time for Dallas. And you look at Carolina, they're 10-0, come on a short week. They're a very physical team. You look at the matchups and you look at Carolina's roster, you don't really see any holes. But, like, Dallas just needs this game so badly. And at this point with their roster, like, if you just started the season over today, like, I don't think it's even a question that they win that division. So I just think it's too early to just cross off the Cowboys. I think they're gonna pull off a win, and Tony Romo with a game winning drive on Thanksgiving to win the game.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, the final Thanksgiving Day game is the Bears and the Packers, and James posted this super fan battle for us. Here we go.
All right, for this super fan battle, we're previewing Chicago at Green Bay. On the line right now is Chicago super fan Tom.
How's it going?
And we also have Green Bay Brian.
Yo, 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 go Pack, go.
Divisional matchup. Chicago's on a bit of a run right now, but Green Bay has looked to right the ship. How about we start with you, Tom? What are you looking for in this game, and how can Chicago go into Green Bay and steal one from the division rival?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? The Bears have been playing reasonably well. They've been playing, in fact, way over their heads. As a Bears fan, I've been very happy with what they've done with the little talent that they have. They did win two in a row, one over San Diego, who just about everyone can beat right now, and one over the Rams, who really gave that game away to them. If you watch that game, the Rams really did everything they could to lose. They were pretty undisciplined. And frankly, Nick Foles, anytime he had to throw over 15 yards, he missed the receiver. Last week, we played a much better game than either one of those two against Denver and hung in there pretty tough with them, but they had to play almost perfect. Jay Cutler had his usual soul-crushing turnovers, but they had no penalties at all that game and still lost. So Denver is considerably better team. So the Bears played very, very well to hang tough with them. So that's very fortunate, because I think they're going to need to do that this week.
Okay. And how about you, Brian? What are you looking for in this game for the Pack to take out of it and to take advantage of the Chicago weaknesses?
Well, we'll see. We lost to the Lions at home 2 weeks ago, so I don't know that we have a whole lot of right to brag about much of anything at this point. What I'll be looking for is basically to see if we can continue to build on last week's success. Last week was really the first time this season that we saw a competent running game. Eddie Lacy rushed for 100 yards for the first time, and that was without a healthy offensive line. I was looking today, and every one of our offensive linemen are on the injury report. We actually had Corey Linsley, our starting center, go out last week, and I was pleasantly surprised that the backup, J.C. Treader, didn't miss a beat. We also saw a few nice plays by the wide receivers. they had gone, done their vanishing act for about the last month. I don't know if it was them just not winning one-on-one matchups or different schemes that were kind of setting us back. But, yeah, for the last month or so before the Vikings game, we were really, really constipated as an offense. We couldn't complete passes. I think in that Lions game we had 9 straight punts. So it was great to get a good divisional win against a really tough opponent in Minnesota, and I'll be looking to see if we can continue that success this week against the Bears.
Okay. Do you think Mike McCarthy is going to keep James Starks? Yeah, he already mentioned that that was the starter. I believe that was 2 weeks back, but after Eddie Lacy's performance, is he now the starter again, or are they just going to go to a straight committee?
I think it's safe to say that Lacy's the starter. He certainly looked more like the 1,100-yard rusher last week. But McCarthy's said all along that he'll play the hot hand, and if that's Lacy, great. If that's Starks, great. As long as one of them is, I'm happy.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious. We've talked a lot over the past year or so, and you seem to have a fairly grounded opinion of your own team. I, of course, watched the Vikings game just like everybody around the country. Virtually the whole country saw that game. Do you think the pack is back? I don't know. I kind of watched that game and wasn't very impressed with either side. And I know that Green Bay got a great performance out of their defensive line, but let's be honest, that Viking offensive line is awful. Did you see what you wanted to see there, or do you think there might still be problems?
I think the answer to that is a little bit of both. Sticking with my grounded nature, the defense did look fantastic last week. I saw a stat that of the 37 dropbacks that Teddy Bridgewater had, he was hurried on 34 of them. That's a crazy percentage, and I think it speaks to what you just talked about, some of the deficiencies along the Minnesota offensive line. But we've started to play a little bit better along the defensive line. I saw that we had actually played Dayton Jones, our first-round pick from a few years ago. We started playing him at outside linebacker a little bit 2 weeks ago, and then again against the Vikings, and he had a career day against the Vikings and was still very productive against the Lions in a poor showing by the rest of the team. So he was kind of the lone bright spot. I'll be looking to see if he can kind of keep that going. To answer your initial question, though, did I see what I wanted to see? I think we saw steps toward the Packers righting the ship. I don't think they were all the way back yet, though. Rodgers was still under 50% completion percentage, which is hard to believe if you've watched Rodgers play at all over the last 5-6 years. So those are not very impressive numbers. And obviously, we get another tough matchup against the Bears this week. I'm hoping to see the defense continue to play at their high level and the offense build on the success that they had last week.
Yeah. The good news is that Packers are far more talented. But, I'm not used to seeing this either. I've watched this team for a long time. There were a few bad miscommunications on the field where Rodgers would throw to one spot and the receiver would go somewhere else. And there were an awful lot of drops. And you guys usually have more than a few, but there were a lot more than usual. And I do kind of wonder if there isn't still work that needs to be done there.
We're definitely not the same team without Jordy Nelson. We don't have anybody that can stretch the defense vertically, which leads to teams kind of compressing around that line of scrimmage, and nobody is going to really run by anybody. And Cobb has really had a hard time getting going. He was the culprit behind a couple of the drops you referenced. A couple of them were on third downs, which really grinds my gears. But we did see James Jones get back into the swing of things this past week with an impressive second reaction play. Two of them, actually. One was a deep throw down the left side, and then he caught that impressive touchdown the kind of toe tap on the end zone line there. But you're right. We definitely, there's room for improvement at all levels of our offense.
James Jones looking alive. That's bad news for the Bears. He had a very good game against them at Soldier Field. So that could happen again. I agree. He was picking it up a bit.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see after the previous week when we targeted Davante Adams like 21 times or 22 times and really kind of got pretty minimal production out of him. I think it was 10 catches for 80 yards or something like that. So I was happy to see them kind of try something different. That obviously was not a winning formula, and kind of getting James Jones more involved this week and Eddie Lacy back on track really helped to kind of salt the game away against Minnesota.
Now, Tom, what about your team as far as getting Alshon Jeffrey and Matt Forte? Are they going to be back this week? I mean, that's kind of your two big offensive playmakers.
The reports are that that Forte will play. He probably could have played on Sunday, but they didn't want to bring him back on a short week. So they picked a game. This is my read on it. They're not saying this, obviously, but my read is that they picked a game and they picked this one so that he wouldn't have to play, you know, 4 days later. Alshon Jeffrey, it doesn't sound very encouraging. The last I read, that was still up in the air, and I don't think an official classification's come out, whether he's questionable or doubtful or what you would say about that. But I wouldn't hold my breath on seeing him. The other significant injury is Pernell McPhee, who's really their only defensive playmaker. And he's got a bad knee. He played with it on Sunday and was obviously very, very limited by it. And I would expect him to play again, but I would be very surprised if he was himself coming back on a short week. Those are the three guys that we're really talking about as far as injuries and questions about whether they'll actually be able to come back or not, I think.
Okay. Any chance we see Kevin White this week?
Well, I doubt that. From what I understand, they did activate him in terms of allowing him to practice. And he'll be practicing with the team. But my guess is that they're just going to give him a feel for how to practice, you know, like a pro, sort of like get him in, but really keep him limited and then shut him down for the year. That's just a guess. But I'd be very surprised if he played. That's a good question, though.
He wasn't real polished coming out of school, so I would tend to agree with your assessment. But I know there's not a whole lot of weapons going on in the wide receivers you got there, so maybe, just maybe.
They could use him, but honestly, it's about the future here right now. You know, if they're competitive, most of the fans that have any common sense are fairly happy because, you know, we all recognize that they don't have the talent on this team to do a whole lot, and it really is amazing what they've done with it. The coaching has just been marvelous here. They've done a wonderful job with what they've been given, but it's not enough. I mean, if Green Bay's on their game and playing like they really can play on Thursday, this won't be close. You know, it'll be I hope it's not like last year, but it won't be a close game. They're far more talented. But the Bears have been playing real solid. So if there are enough mistakes made, they might keep it close. Who knows?
All right. With that, guys, where do you see how do you see this game going? Any score predictions?
I'll start, and I'm going to walk the line between pessimist and optimist. I'm going to predict a 10-point Bears defeat. I'll say 30-20.
I will guess that we continue to build on last week's success, like I talked about, and we win by 2 touchdowns. Let's say 31-17.
All right, so you heard what our superfans had to say there. James, did you give your pick in that superfan battle?
I did not. After listening to Tom and Brian talk it over, both of them were very high on Green Bay winning the game. I think that Aaron Rodgers has started the turnaround. They're gonna hold on to that division. They're gonna keep Minnesota at bay. One of the big things that swayed that is it looks like both Alshon Jeffrey is not gonna play. And then now there's rumors of Matt Forte, even though he was originally slated to come back on this Thanksgiving game that he's, you know, being limited in practice. And even if he is back, he may not be at 100%. So if you take away the big offensive weapons of Chicago, I don't know how they're going to be able to keep up with Green Bay, because they just don't have the defense like they used to have.
This comes from the same people that give me the useless stats. These stats are a little bit less useless. Aaron Rodgers has won 10 of the past 11 starts versus Chicago, including the playoffs. He has a 116.1 rating in his past three meetings against Chicago, has 13 touchdowns, a 146.7 rating, has thrown 54 touchdowns, two interceptions with a 120.5 rating in his past 21 at home. That includes the playoffs. And on Thursday night games, or Thursday games in particular, the past seven, he has 14 touchdowns, two picks, a 112.4 rating. This just in, Aaron Rodgers is good. He's good against the Bears, and I am going to take Green Bay. However, the line that I am playing with is 9.5. NumberFire says the likelihood of Green Bay covering 8 is 42.1%. I am sticking with my going against NumberFire, so I will take Green Bay to win, but not cover. Andrew?
Yeah, I think this game is going to be a blowout. If this line was 14, I would take Green Bay. Especially if Forte and Alshon don't play. I think Green Bay's offense is starting to come around a bit more after a couple of lethargic weeks. They looked pretty good last week. Rodgers looks like Rodgers again. I think, again, like a very nationally televised game, NBC Thursday night, I think Green Bay comes out and puts a whooping on Chicago.
Greg, what do you have?
I did some research, and I found out that Green Bay doesn't like to lose at home, and that's a fact. You can double check it. So I'm going to go Packers.
It's a good pick. Jimmy?
I'm taking Green Bay here, but I agree with you. I don't think they cover the 9 points. I do think this is a competitive game, and Green Bay's a little better team. I think John Fox has Chicago in the right direction, but give me Green Bay at home.
All right, so that does it for the Thursday games. Real quickly here, the semifinalists were named for the Hall of Fame. These will be the 25 guys that will be in the mix to be put into the Hall of Fame for 2016. Now, I have this article here from NFL.com, and it was written here by Elliot Harrison. And he went and ranked all 25. I will just say, out of the 25, I see really only one slam dunk, no-brainer Hall of Famer, and that's Brett Favre. Every other candidate here, I can make an argument for or against. I might say that Tony Dungy is next best amongst the list here. But I don't know. Andrew, you tend to have some good insights onto these sorts of things. What do you got?
I'm looking at these guys. I'm shocked how you only have one guy. I'm assuming that's Favre. But
yes.
Tyrell Owens is if not the best receiver of my generation growing up from the late 90s up until the late 2000s. Marvin Harrison also is in that class. And Orlando Pace might be one of the best offensive tackles of all time. So I think those guys are locks. And then you have other guys like Kurt Warner, Terrell Davis, and Alan Faneca who are eligible this year. So I actually think it's a very strong class. So I disagree with you there, Pod.
Well, the thing about Terrell Owens is fame and infamy certainly precede him. When you look at it, let's see, when I'm looking at the wide receivers, in this modern day, I think there's just going to be other wide receivers that are much better than Marvin Harrison and Terrell Owens. Now, that might be the wrong way to be looking at it, especially since that's certainly not the way the voters are looking at it. But yes, Terrell Owens, second all-time in receiving yards. Harrison is seventh. T.O. ranks third in receiving touchdowns. Harrison is fifth. T.O. ranks sixth in receptions. Harrison is third. So, yes, in terms of the wide receiver position, those two guys are certainly well-deserving. Orlando Pace, I would agree. It's tough to grade offensive lineman, as a regular fan, as a slightly more educated fan, it becomes a little bit more easier. But Orlando Pace was definitely a perennial Pro Bowler and deserves the honor. The one name that doesn't get enough mention here, and I'm going to give him some mention and some serious consideration, would be Don Coryell. Because if there's a name that is synonymous with football and offense in particular, it is Coryell. I mean, he sort of invented the offense that many other offenses have been built upon. And so when you're talking about someone that was a great contributor to the game, you can't tell the story of football without Don Coryell.
I'd like to add, there's two names on the list that jump out to me. I know Tony Piselli played only for a short time, but he was dominant. Like, no one got pressure on the quarterback on his side, and he was what the Jacksonville Jaguars in the 90s were built on. So I think he is, you know, drastically underrated. And my only thought is it has to be for his duration of career. And then how can you, I mean, finally, I hope this year they put Kevin Green in, because he had the best hair of any linebacker all time. So
that is definitely true. Kevin Green with the long hair. I think, let's see here. Kevin Green has 160 career sacks. I think the only thing that goes against Kevin Green is the fact that he played for so many teams. But I don't know if that's even fair to knock a guy just because he played for so many teams. Obviously, he played for your team, Greg, which is, I'm assuming, another reason why you brought him up.
Well, yeah, and he was also an impact player. Like, pretty much every year he played, he made plays that affected the outcome of games directly. And he was a great player, but I do have a 91 jersey back home, so I do like him, but his hair is what tips the scales.
By the way, I should mention Ty Law is on this list. I don't feel that he is a Hall of Famer, a professional football Hall of Famer. He is definitely one of the greats and a deserving New England Patriot Hall of Famer. For the regular Hall of Fame, not quite so sure. Morton Anderson, we know the situation with special teamers, especially kickers. But if they were to put more kickers into the Hall of Fame, Morton Anderson definitely is deserving. Jimmy Johnson, when we're talking about fame, for sure. But I don't know if Jimmy Johnson necessarily contributed enough to the game of football to be considered a Hall of Fame head coach. Anybody here want to challenge me on that? Good. There's definitely a few other names on this list. We can certainly go over it a little bit more when we have more time later in the off season. We've addressed this subject in the preseason for sure. So stay tuned to Next Fan Up as we share our thoughts about the NFL Hall of Fame. All right. So for Andrew, James, Greg, and Jimmy, that is our Thanksgiving Day preview. Hope you enjoyed it. We are going to be back again on Thanksgiving to give you the rest of the week previews. And I'll include an interview with Matt Chatham, who last week managed to beat me in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League, which is very, very shameful. But I had predicted it was coming because I talked a lot of trash to Ramona, the sports gal pal, last week. So for all of them and for me, we wish you a great Thanksgiving Day. And of course, Jeff Fisher will remind you.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.